Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Native Voices, Native People's Concepts of Health and Illness explores the ties between wellness, illness, and cultural life for Native Americans and Native Alaskans and Hawaiians. The exhibit shares stories drawn from both past and present to examine how health for Native people is tied to community, to the land, and to spirit. Joining us with more on Native Voices, the exhibit, we have from the Janine Basinger Studio in Brookings, Emmeline Weber. She's Operations Manager of the Hilton M. Briggs Library at South Dakota State University in Brookings. Good morning, Emmeline.
Good morning.
Tell me where the traveling exhibit comes from.
The traveling exhibit comes from the U.S. National Library of Medicine, NLM, who developed and produced the exhibit. They partnered with the American Library Association Public Programs Office to tour the library to America's libraries, to tour the exhibit to America's libraries.
So how challenging was this grant process to get it to come to Brookings?
That's correct. The process actually started at the end of 2015 when we submitted a grant application. We were chosen as one of 104 libraries across the nation to host the traveling exhibit for 6 weeks. We also received a $250 programming grant to help us put on a program related to the exhibit.
All right. So tell us about the exhibit itself first and sort of how some of this content and concepts are presented.
Sure. The exhibit is a combination of six banners along with interactive media. So we have six iPad stations set up between each banner. People who visit the exhibit will not only learn about the historical experiences and values of Native peoples and their various beliefs and practices, but also about revival and pride in Native culture and language among a new generation.
All right. So tell us some of the early responses. How have people been interacting with the material?
From day one, we've had people coming over to the exhibit, looking at it even before it was officially done being set up. So when we received the exhibit, we had the banners up right away, but we had to take a little time to get the iPads in there. So right off the bat, people are interested. They're coming into the library early to ask questions about the opening celebration we had last Thursday. They wanted to be sure they knew where to go for the program. And at the program itself, we had a lot of very positive response from those who attended about the speakers and what they talked about and how they hoped people throughout the community could find out about this information.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about, because when you bring these traveling exhibits are often, you know, assembled with the desire to not only provide information, but to start a community conversation. And so talk a little bit about the programming that you built around this to start that conversation. Where did you begin?
So I started looking at partners within the SDSU community who could help provide some direction and contacts for those who'd be good to be involved with the panel discussion. So we ended up having three panelists speaking. First was Dr. George Eagleman, who's actually with the Flanju Santee Sioux Tribal Health Clinic. We also had Beverly Stabber Warren, who is with the Native American Nursing Education Center in the College of Nursing at the SDSU Rapid City campus. And finally, we had Dr. Mary Isaacson, who is assistant professor in the College of Nursing and has a research focus that centers on reducing the health disparities experienced by the American Indian population in South Dakota.
And the topic was really looking at historical trauma and how it, you know, how it ties into contemporary health today. As that conversation unfolded, what were some of the highlights for you?
Well, we had a great discussion with the panelists. Bev talked a little bit about intergenerational historical trauma and how traumatic events can actually change a person's DNA. And those DNA changes are passed down to the next generation. Another element of historical trauma is the ability to have relationships with other people and to parent, because those things might not be demonstrated in a positive way when an individual and an entire community are in distress.
And, you know, afterwards, you know, this conversation is ongoing. Is there other programming? Are you seeing other people to sort of intuitively pick up on, you know, this is a conversation that needs to continue?
Absolutely. In fact, that was one of the main emphases during our conversation, Dr. Eagleman spoke repeatedly about the importance of unity and keeping the Lakota language alive, how important that is to the culture and having a healthy culture. They both shared stories from their own personal histories and of their heritage and how historical trauma has affected them and their loved ones and how they have spiritual significance among things like eagles and buffalo, that buffalo are a symbol of strength, as Bev said, and that eagles carry prayers on their wings up to the Creator, as George was saying. And Beverly also talked about how, as a young child, she learned about her culture's core values from her grandfather's songs, those values being honor, respect, humility, courage, generosity, wisdom, and fortitude. So these conversations that started at the beginning of our exhibit and obviously are being continued now through this interview, I just hope that we'll encourage people to come to the Briggs Library and look at the exhibit and learn more about the many different aspects that are involved with cultural health and how the Native American community relates to illness and community and wellness.
In the exhibit itself are, you know, tribes from the Northern Plains featured. You know, obviously, there's, you know, folks from Hawaii and Alaska and, you know, across the continent. Do you see a representation of Lakota language, for example?
Well, one of the main things about the Lakota community that's in the banners is in the first themed banner. So there are five themes on these banners. And the first banner is about the individual, talking about traditional healers and healing. It includes a photo of the Lakota Holy Man Black Elk praying on Harney Peak in the Black Hills in 1931. So that, along with a plant called bitterroot, that's featured in the banner about nature and how it's used by the Upper Plains tribes.
How long is the exhibit up?
The exhibit is up through June 5th. And Briggs Library is located at 1300 North Campus Drive on the SDSU Brookings campus.
Tell me, let's broaden the conversation a little bit to the library itself, because do you see yourself as a university library, a community library? How do you sort of, you know, encompass everything that a modern library is today?
We are an academic library that serves the SDSU students, faculty, and staff. We also have a large number of researchers using our resources and facilities. And we also do programming that encourages the community to come into the library and be a part of what we have here.
So what do you find is successful? You must have a lot of people giving you ideas of what library programming should be and a lot of resources there at SDSU as well to bring programming to people. What do people want from their library today?
Well, I think people want to know how to get information. That's one of our main focuses, is getting the right information into the right hands. There's a lot of databases out there that have some deep research that can be done, including some Native American databases through our website, which is www.sdstate.edu/library. So helping people find what they're looking for is what we're all about.
And what kind of programming? Do you have a lot of author visits or professor lectures? Do you have a lot of, you know, panel discussions?
We do. It's been a very busy month. For example, last week alone, we had a book talk with Stephen Wingate with his new book of Fathers and Fire.
Yeah, he was on this show, too.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, it was a good book. It was a very good book and a really rich discussion. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. We've also had the SDSU Common Read was announced at the library last week. So we are not only planning our own programs, but we are a space where other organizations can hold their activities and events as well. We also hosted the SDSU Oakwood Literary Magazine launch last week. So that's a great opportunity for not only SDSU students, but the other contributors to that magazine to share their work with the public. So throughout the year, we have several events with authors and different pop culture talks.
What is the SDSU Community Read this year?
It is called Irresistible, I think.
Yeah.
It's about technology.
All right. So yep. finding those topics and figuring out a way into them. And then you also have there at SDSU the new state poet laureate in Professor Christine Stewart as well.
That is correct.
I think she's
very exciting.
Is she affiliated with Oakwood Literary Magazine too?
Since Stephen Wingate was on sabbatical this year for his book, yeah. She did fill in for him and was part of that Oakwood launch. And we have her works in our collection as well.
Nice. So how does the Common Read work then? Once a title is selected, how does that roll out?
Well, I'm not a part of that committee, but I believe they spend a lot of time going through several different books and narrowing it down to the last three or four, and then finally picking that one book that they think is going to really create a great conversation on campus. So then in the fall, they have anywhere from 8 to 10 events centered around the topic of that book.
And that topic will be sort of that immersion in technology and what it's doing to us this year. Wonderful.
That's right.
Wonderful stuff. So for this exhibit, which is called Native Voices, Native People's Concepts of Health and Illness, it's a traveling exhibit from the National Library of Medicine. And my guest today is Emmeline Weber. She's operations manager of the Hilton M. Briggs Library at South Dakota State in Brookings. Any other major collections that you have there that kind of go under the radar of papers and research that people can access?
Oh, yes. People can have a lot of fun in our archives. There are tons of collections up there. One exciting project we had this year was working on the Ben Rifle papers.
Oh, sure.
If you're not familiar, Ben Rifle was a Lakota congressman in the 1960s, and we have papers from his time in Congress. We received a Wokini Challenge grant last year that allowed us to hire on Native American student assistants in the archives to go through these papers, preserve them, digitize them, add them to our digital galleries, and also create an exhibit, a banner exhibit about his work. And that exhibit is being duplicated and will be sent to tribal colleges and universities across the state.
And they just named a middle school after him in Sioux yeah. Falls as well. So if you don't know the name Ben Rifle by now, you probably will soon as people learn more about his story. Emmeline Weber, thank you so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.